arrangement. You wouldn't believe it, but it's only 5 foot longer this way than this way, but it sure looks different. Feel like I need a skateboard to get back and forth. I don't know. It just really looks bigger. Greetings from Pachuca. We live, I think, in paradise compared to Texas. When we left, it was 47 degrees, and we were looking for a high 60s for the high for the day. And if we had had a fan in the 10 years we lived there, we would have started it 3 times. It just never gets hot. It's just really nice. So, a lot of rain, but this heat is hard on us. But Pachuca's, the church, as she said, is like this church has had many times. A lot of people come and they're all excited and they leave and you get upset about something. Almost all divisions are over personalities. Right. We haven't seen any real doctrinal divisions. It's pretty hard to make up another doctrine that's other than the truth that holds water. And so it's another assurance that we have the right doctrine. Some of these splits that we've seen over the years they go just down the street and start another church and do the exact same thing with the same doctrine. So you know it's human personalities that's the problem and not that we are wrong in our doctrine. The men that Susan talked about are a real blessing. That instance where we had a selection of deacons, and the way that we selected is at 100%, the church has to decide who they want, as the Bible says, and we say we want it's 100%. And two of the three that really are in the running didn't get 100%. And the one guy actually cried. He says, you know, he really wants to be involved. And of course, then the teaching was reinforced that we're not out looking to anoint somebody and make him a deacon. We're out to recognize one. Big difference. And that's the same way with pastors. That's the same way with anyone teaching. And our system of meetings allows for the opportunity to people to be teachers before they're called one. And then it'd be much better to just recognize somebody that's doing it rather than giving them a title and said, now work into it. And maybe Friday I can get in a little more of the history. I want to talk to you tonight about 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. You have here the story when Elijah passed the mantle to Elisha, and it seems like the older one gets, the more he thinks about passing it on, you know? And so maybe that's where this is coming from. But this is a very important thing, passing the mantle. You know, every organization, secular, every sect, every Christian organization has to have a mantle. It has to have something that's bigger than the one that founded it, or it dies in itself. The one who founded this thing, whatever it is, has to come up with something that's important enough that someone else says, I got the vision and I'll take it on. Right. Or it's dead. And to restrict our thinking tonight to just the Christianity, there has to be a mantle worth passing on. That others will say, I want that mantle. In 1 Kings 19, verse 19, it says, so he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 oxen, yoke of oxen, before him, and with the 12th, and Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elisha and said, let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. And he said unto him, go back again, for what have I done to thee? And he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave unto the people, and they did eat. And he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. A mantle is a philosophy. Mantle is comprised of a set of ideas. We call them doctrines. It has a purpose. It has practices. It's the what and the how and the why that we do these things. It has a set of goals. And when Christianity quit having interest in those that had the mantle to pass it on, and or those willing to receive it, we went into the Dark Ages. You look through the Old Testament, it says, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. Meaning it wasn't there. What happened? The word of the Lord no longer existed? Or the men that God charged it to didn't pass it on? And those that were there that should have been receiving it didn't receive it. Blame what side you want to blame, but it didn't get passed on, and it became precious. It became scarce. It became hard to find. It came. There was thousands of years, the siglos of the Dark Ages, that the Word of God was not openly found. It didn't cease to exist. Men didn't pass it on, and that's the mantle that has to be passed on generation to generation. And another thing that's really sad is that it seems that we want to dumb down everything. If every generation, if your children were just a little less smart than you, and their children, my grandchildren, they are a little bit less smart than me, where would this world end up at? And if every Christian you ever win has to be just a little less spiritual than you, and a little less faith than you have, where is Christianity headed? We need to pass on a mantle in such a manner that it's growing in its, amen, in itself, in its vision, in its power, and its in effect. The mantle has to be seen something that it has a value. What gives anything value? Who it came from. A painting from Van Gogh has value because of who painted it. Or does it not? It has to come from some place that is recognized as somebody who gives value. And we have a mantle that Jesus Christ has sanctioned. And it's His Word. God Almighty. We should see our mantle as much more valuable than I think we do. There's no other mantle on earth that's as valuable as this one because of who it was, who it is. The investment. Something's valuable for how much you invest in it. Jesus, God Almighty, invested His own Son, died on the cross. He has taken those willing mantle bearers over the thousands of years and asked them, demanded that they suffer so that we have that mantle. We go back through church history and all these ones that were tortured and slain, all these people that gave up their life freely to do the work of the Lord instead of go after worldly pleasures and things. That's a great investment. That's one of the things that I tried to show these brothers and sisters down in Pachuca a couple weeks ago. Said, these are common, everyday people that have an opportunity that you'll never have to do great things economically in the States. They give up their jobs, they give up their futures so that you can have the gospel. That's a great investment. And if you don't take this up, if you don't see that you have to invest, what's the next generation got hope for? This mantle does a lot of things, but one of the most important things, it gives peace with God for all those that are touched by it. Trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ believing in Him is justification through faith and peace with God. What more do you want? Peace with God Almighty. Makes it a valuable piece of cloth. Passing it on, the first thing you have to realize that it has to live beyond its founders. And that brings us down to it doesn't belong to them. The mantles is the Lord's. When we get jealous of it to the point that we think it's ours, we destroy it. We have to wear the mantle loosely. At the moment the Lord says it's time to move it to this guy, you freely let it go. That's the problem I'm seeing in Mexico. We have a number of churches down in Mexico that have one elder. They didn't start out that way. But because of sin, because of the in the life of one of them, and he's gone, because of the fact that they couldn't get along and they split, they're down to a church with one elder, and it's more than a few months, it's years. Now, why don't they have another elder? And we've talked to them, and the Bible is clear, there should be a multitude of elders. You need an elder to help you stay in line.
Right.
You need to learn how to submit to somebody else.
Yes, sir.
But power corrupts. And I'm in charge of this congregation. I mean, look, we have benches in the park, and the city turns the lights on for us, but they have power because they have 20 people that sit and listen to them, and they can tell them where we're going to meet and what we're going to do, and they have it's addictive, and they're jealous of this, and they think it's theirs. And we have to watch ourselves that we realize this is the mantle the Lord has passed to me. That I pass it on. That I prepare other people. You got some classic examples. Saul, the king Saul sinned. And God took the mantle from him and passed it to David. Saul fought to the end of his life to prevent it. Instead of saying, I admit it, I confess, and I'll support the anointed one of God. He fought it to the end. But what about Jonathan? He's the man that impresses me more in the Bible than any other man. He knew what that meant.
Yeah.
It meant that he had to die because he was the rightful heir, humanly speaking. And yet, what did he do? He became the spy for David in his father's own house. He worked to keep David safe. Why? Because God had chosen him. And the most incredible thing was him wearing priestly robes. I'm king-elect. I'll take those off and give them to you. That's the attitude we need to have. Those of us that say we carry the mantle, we have a responsibility. We need to be ever tender to the Lord's calling to say, there's a brother that's going to wear the mantle. Get him prepared. Get him ready. Help him. Pass him your clothes. You got Paul passing it to Timothy. And then there's receiving it. It's not for personal gain. So many times I think when it comes time for us to leave a church in Mexico and we say this is the man that these are the men and we're going to call them the elders of the church. It's a big change. They're suddenly just not just a member in the church. They might be the deacon. Now they're going to be in charge. And power corrupts. You see it everywhere you go. Give a guy down there a microphone and you get troubles. You know, he's in control of this crowd with a mic. And you give somebody a congregation and you tell the congregation, now you're going to give this guy offerings. We as missionaries go down and we don't accept a dime from the church we're working in. Example of Paul. The gospel is freely given. And we've had people in the congregation says, I want to give you an offering. Says, don't give it to me. Buy some tract, do something else. We're here to give the gospel freely. We won't accept anything that you as this congregation have to give us because we're here to give it freely. But now that you have an elder, he's worthy of his hire, if he is, and you should give him offerings. Wow, I'm going to be the man in charge, and I'm going to have offerings. It comes a real problem. And I'd ask you to pray about it. Pray for us with it. How to handle that. Pray for them that they not be puffed up with this. Because many of them think it's personal gain. It's not a trophy. I'm now in charge. I got my medal. I got my plaque on the wall. They call me Elder Jones. And it's a responsibility. It is a charge given to take care of them by God Almighty. That's why it's so important that we recognize someone who naturally is caring for the flock, naturally being the pastor. He's got wisdom that he's acquired by pleading with God for spiritual wisdom to make good decisions, and he's already doing it and says, this is the guy doing it, we can leave. Not, you're the guy that needs to do it, get with it, and then we'll, because we're leaving. We need to wear that responsibility well. We need to keep it clean. That mantle is in the view. How many times have we done things that tarnished our testimony? That's tarnishing the mantle of God. If you're going to be receiving my mantle, would you like me to give you one that's dirty? How many times have you heard someone say when you're trying to witness to them that, well, I know this Christian down the road. The last thing I ever do is take my car to a Christian mechanic. How many times you heard that kind of thing? That's the mantle of God being tarnished. We need to keep it focused. There's so many groups out there now, and they got so many different ideas. We've come up with so many ideas. You know there should not be an original thought in the church?
Amen. That's right.
Huh? We're down here preaching, and somebody comes up with a pretty neat little thing they say in their message, and the first thing you know, everybody's saying in their messages when we're preaching in the street twice a day, several times a week, you know, I say over and over, and so everybody's repeating this thing, and you plagiarizer, what are you doing stealing my message? There's not an original thought. There's nothing new under the sun. If you've got an original doctrine, keep it yourself. We need to stay focused. We have a purpose, and that mantle, that job that we've been given, that responsibility, has to be worn properly. You have to decide which mantle you want. There's a lot of different mantles. Just in the church life, we're a body with all the different functions. Which one's for you? Which one are you going to start out with? Which one do you want to grow into? You got to decide which part of this you're going to be of. I think it's a real practical thing.
Amen.
If I'm going to build a building, I'm going to call the brother who knows plumbing to help do the plumbing. We were in a church years ago, and they wanted no natural ability. That was their big deal. There's no natural ability. And they were building a building. And so they wouldn't let me be a carpenter. You know, all right, fine, you know. And so I forget what I was doing. I was helping somebody do something. And so, all right. Well, they got down to the deadline for the bank. And this thing had to be so far along before, or the bank wasn't going to give them the loan. And then they're sitting here with all these lumber yards and all these places they owed money. And they were going to be, nope. And they come to, Mike, would you come and help us with the carpenter work? Oh, natural ability's all right now when it's economical. I think it's practical. You got some gifts. You got some skills. They weren't given to you to hide them. Start there. You say, well, I don't know what to do. What's your skills? What's your gift? Only thing I can do is run a lawnmower. Ha ha. You looked around. Which one do you want? work toward it. Be an evangelist, it says, but take care of your gift. And then you got to decide how much of it you want. How much of this mantle do you want? I don't know what your vision is of the mantle that Elijah had passing to Elijah. I got this vision from the time I was a little kid that it was a piece of animal skin with hair and it's kind of a thing. But and practically, I think it's a patchwork quilt. I think it's more like Joseph's robe of many colors. You get saved, you get a little piece of it. Maybe a little beanie, I don't know. You got a little piece, you got salvation, and that's part of the mantle. And then as you are faithful to the meetings, you've said, I'll take a little more of the responsibility. And you pass the offering box on a regular basis, and this mantle begins to grow. I think the whole mantle of God would look more like a trench coat. Look what it says. And find the verse 2:12 and 13. Look at 2 Kings 2:12. And Elijah saw it, and he cried, "My father, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof." And he saw him no more, and he took a hold of his own clothes, and he rent them in pieces. And he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him. The more mantle we put on, the less we need of who we are. He rent his clothes. He took on the whole mantle. It was enough to cover him. How much of the mantle do you have? How much do you want? Look at what Elisha said in 2:9. Down at the last, and Elisha said, "I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me." He wanted more. Elijah is really something. I mean, they hadn't seen anything like that ever, and he wanted twice as much. He wanted a mantle that covered him so much that all they could see would be the glory of God. And Christianity today, the most of us are satisfied with a little patch here and there, a little piece, looked like Christians on occasion, but not completely covered, not completely immersed. And then we wonder, why are we powerless? Why can't we split the sea, the river? Why can't we call down fire from heaven? Why can't we see victories in our ministries? Another thing you need to realize, that the receiving the mantle of God is geographical. You got to be where it is. It's just that simple. If you're not where the mantle is that you want, you can't get it. And that's a sad thing we've seen here in this church. We've seen it in the churches in Mexico. People come in, they get saved. This is the greatest thing I ever saw. They get upset in the way they go. And I hope they do well. I hope they're a blessing where they go. But in most cases, they wither up because they've seen a mantle at one time they wanted, and because of some personal problem, because of sin in their lives, they turn their back on it and go someplace else. You've got to be where it is. The classic mistake that I see in the Bible made by a man was Lot and Abraham. They had acquired a huge amount of animals, of sheep. They had all these people. And they got their Lot's shepherds and Abraham's were having a quarrel, and they were fighting over a blade of grass and back and forth. And so Abraham went to Lot and says, "Lot, we just can't go on with this kind of fighting. You take the half you want, and I'll go my way, and we'll put an end to this fighting." And Lot, in his greed and his foolishness, said, "Okay, I'll take the good stuff. I'm on my way. No more problems." What he should have done is fell down on his knees and said, "All that I have is because God blessed you. And I'm getting a runoff from your blessing. And if I leave, I got nothing." That's what he should have said. And there's situation after situation in brothers and sisters in this church, in my own life, in the lives of many down there that say, the blessing is not that important. I don't need that mantle that well. I want this or that. And we trade off the opportunity to wear the mantle of God for petty things. We have a mantle. This has very few points in reality. It's not that complicated. Jesus Christ is God Almighty manifested in the flesh.
Amen.
That's the basis.
Praise the Lord.
Jesus' death on the cross finished the work of our salvation. You need nothing else to be saved. The name of Jesus. One little verse that's been in that book for centuries. Colossians 3:17. To all that you do in word or deed, do in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's been ignored and passed over generations. Do all things in the name of Jesus. That's a big piece of that mantle. And we have the Word of God without error, without contradiction, in our hands. The King James Bible. God gave us His Word that we can trust. That's a mantle worth sacrificing your lives for. That's a mantle that needs to be passed to someone else. And you, us, that have that mantle, have the responsibility to prepare others and see that they get it. It may be the day that you have to say, I'm out of here, I can't be here. You may have to learn to submit to a younger brother.
That's right.
Bill and I were, Michael and I were in San Luis start with a church of all those young people, if you remember that crazy bunch. And we had a bunch of really good preachers from 14 years old to about 18. And they would gather a crowd every night downtown and they were preaching away. And Bill came through, and I don't know why he was there. Maybe you remember that night down in front of the Plaza of the Artemis? And one of our preachers is out there, and he is bringing home a message. And he's got 50, 60 people all standing there spellbound listening to him. And Bill jabs me in the side, and he says, how's it feel to be outdone by one of your converts? There's two reactions that could be. That no good for nothing. He just stole my message, you know. Or praise the Lord.
Amen.
He's raising up someone else to carry the mantle. Here it is. Take it.
Amen.
And make it better. There's no room for that jealousy. There's no room for that. Or the mantle dies with us. And then, who's going to receive it? There's a lot of young people that have come and gone here, and they're not here anymore. They should be wearing some mantle. There's a lot of you young people here. Are you really looking to wear a mantle? Have you decided which one you want? Have you decided how much you want of it? That's how God's work has gone down through the ages to us. Somebody had it. Somebody prepared someone else and passed it to them. And we have the gospel. And we have a mantle. We need to increase the amount that we wear. And we need to teach it. Paul said, "By just because of the time you've been around, you should be a teacher." I think most Christians lose the idea of the expectations of God. He expects us to wear a mantle proudly, confidently, with the power of the Spirit, and change lives. And He expects us to get that mantle on somebody else. That's what the mission conference, that's what missions are all about. Passing the mantle.
Amen.